League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, welcome to the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Dan Kilpatrick. I'm here with Tom Barkley. We are literally in the auditorium at Hotspur Way, where Ange Postecoglou has just been addressing the media ahead of Sunday's game against Brentford. As you can imagine, there was only really one topic on the agenda: Harry Kane's impending move to Bayern Munich, which Postecoglou did confirm was imminent. Tom, an interesting feel to the presser, I thought. I thought Postecoglou was actually kind of relatively upbeat. I mean, did you almost feel like this was a relief for him that the Kane saga that's hung over the whole summer is kind of finally coming to an end?
Yeah, I would say so. I think he struck the right chord completely when it came to respecting what a legend Harry Kane is, what he means to this club, what it means to the fans, in the sense that they, in his words, may be mourning his loss right now, which sounds quite dramatic, but I think it was quite fitting. And the way he said it was very respectful, but also being quite positive about the post-Kane era and what he's going to try and build out of this. So I thought that was great. And yeah, you're right. He's been waiting for this pretty much all summer long. He kind of revealed that from the first meeting with Kane on July the 12th, when Kane got back from pre-season, that they had a meeting there. Kane made it clear that if a deal could be agreed with another club, I suppose at that point we didn't specifically know it'd be Bayern Munich, but with another club that he wanted to go to, his preference was to leave. But also, if he were to stay, he would be open to that too. So Postecoglou's known throughout this that this was always on the cards.
Well, that was one of the key takeaways, I think, because he's kept relatively tight-lipped when he's spoken at other times. This summer, you were out on tour with him. I was at his first press conference and at the one after the Shakhtar game at the weekend, and all the time he's been pretty coy about Kane's future. He's faced a lot of questions on it. But today, as you said, he revealed that from the first time he'd spoken to Kane on July the 12th, Kane had made it clear he wanted to go. Also said apparently that he was happy to stay if a deal couldn't be agreed by the clubs. But Postecoglou made it clear that he had been planning for this eventuality all summer. That perhaps hasn't been reflected necessarily in his lineups, because Kane's played in three of the four friendlies, but clearly behind the scenes in training.
But that, I would say that's all part of the dance, isn't it? Like, if you left him out completely, it'd be key that it'd be clear that Spurs were gearing up to sell him, in the same way that he's never going to reveal his cards in his previous press conferences before the deal was done. Although one note I did really like was obviously this press conference took place at 1 p.m. on Friday, when the deal hasn't completely gone through. By the time you guys listen to this, it may well have already happened. But one of the questions, so quite a few of the questions were about whether he felt like he could still change his mind, because obviously there was a bit of toing and froing whether Harry was definitely going to leave. And one of the things I really enjoyed was him casually throwing in that basically every player gets tapped up, and that pretty much no club agrees a deal without knowing that the player is interested. Mentioned Van de Ven being a case in point, which is one of these silly things in football that people get up in arms about players being tapped up, and we all know realistically that's what happens. But yeah, I think
do you want to pick you up on one thing? Sorry, you mentioned the kind of dance there, and I think that's interesting because it's pretty well known that Kane was having doubts yesterday. But the way Postecoglou kind of paints it, this was all agreed kind of months ago in Kane's head. But I wonder if that's also, there's an element of that, which is kind of the club getting their message out. He is the spokesperson for the club, and obviously they would want to present, this is very much, quite a smooth process and one they plan for behind the scenes. But I suppose the reality is we don't really know. There might have been a lot of back and forth between that first meeting and now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I just love the way he talks in terms of, he is concise, but he also, it's not like he says, you know, he only speaks for 1 minute, like we were wondering with before he took over. He talks about his 1 minute conversations with players, but actually he's very eloquent. And the way he pitched the comments about it's basically on us to prove to the fans that we effectively know what we're doing and this is the right course of action was, again, note perfect in my mind. Obviously, the cliche of action speaking louder than words will prove to be the case, and where they go from how they deal with this, which is probably the fitting sort of next point to move on to in a second, will sort of really vindicate whether it was the right decision or not. But from a media point of view, I think he played a blinder, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. There was that question where he was asked, do you have a message for fans? And, you know, how should fans be feeling? And he said he's not going to tell them how they're going to feel. You know, it's up to the team and up to him and up to the players to kind of give them a reason to be positive and get behind Spurs again, which I thought, you're right, was a really kind of powerful message. And some of the stuff we can't talk about because it's embargoed till tonight or Sunday night, I also thought was really strong on the way Spurs kind of have to deal with this.
But he did speak in the embargo about, you know, he was asked a lot about, you've now got 100 odd million pounds in your pocket, not literally his pocket, but you know, leading questions over what will happen next, who will be brought in. And I think any fans who are sort of hoping that a big name striker is going to come in as replacement will probably be left disappointed. Is that the feeling you get?
Yeah, probably. I mean, let's talk a little bit about that, because he talked up Richarlison, you know, as you'd expect. And he said he's got a lot of qualities that suits his style of play and this team. You know, he's obviously aware that Richarlison's had a difficult season. He hasn't had the easiest preseason, I suppose, either, with that injury ruling him out of the Shakhtar game, but he did score the hat trick in Singapore.
Yeah, it's like City Sailors, yeah. So it has to be caveated with that.
Sure.
One thing I would say on the two games they played out there, because they played a first half with Kane and a whole different team in the second half. And we asked Postecoglou out on tour whether, you know, Kane would have to adapt to the way he likes a striker to play, you know, liking a striker who sort of presses high and pushes back the centre backs, which is not how Kane plays at all. And, you know, he completely batted away, saying, no, we don't have to adjust. He's that good a player. But you do wonder, now he's gone, Richarlison does seem a more natural fit to at least what Postecoglou has liked to do in the past. Not to say that he couldn't adapt himself, but you wonder now, obviously he'd rather have a player of Kane's quality, but now he really can build the vision that he has, or how he had it at Celtic, and bring that to Tottenham.
While I can see that argument, and I do want to be positive, I don't think there's there's any kind of sugarcoating this or sort of claiming that Richarlison would be a better fit. I think the most kind of intelligent and probably best player in the Premier League would have found a way to adapt. But I do subscribe totally to the argument that I suppose we're too reliant on Kane. You know, he scored 42% of their Premier League goals last year, which is obviously pretty obscene. And I think, while this won't benefit the team in the short term, I do think there's a case that players were hiding behind him a little bit. You know, he was such a kind of powerful leader in the dressing room and on the pitch. You know, we could see that just when we were in the mix zone, you know, after a defeat or, you know, a significant moment, he was always the one that came out and fronted up. You know, he was such a leader and a charismatic presence, obviously being England captain. Other players are going to have to step up. You know, there is going to be a vacuum of leadership, and there is going to be a vacuum of goals and creativity, and that could bring out the best in people. And I think maybe some people will shrink because, you know, stepping on the pitch with Harry Kane would have given them that extra confidence. But I think other people will rise to the occasion, and that could be the kind of making of this new chapter of Spurs going forward. So I am kind of optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be when you listen to Postecoglou. It's not a surprise that players, every time we interview any player about what they think of Ange, they speak glowingly. You have to spend a bit of time in his presence to feel optimistic about the future. And I feel like I need to sort of qualify all this sort of post-presser kind of optimism with the fact that Harry Kane has gone.
I know. Should we do you're just very quick impressions of whether Spurs had to do this deal. Was there any part of you that thought they could have just kept him?
Well, one of the things I sort of looking back now, and, you know, 2020 hindsight and everything, it does feel like this move's been telegraphed for a while. I mean, not just Postecoglou coming in, maybe even deciding Richarlison last year, but let's just take Postecoglou's come in. He's known as a quick rebuilder of teams. He's also someone who was not going to kick off over Kane leaving. like a Conte would have done, probably like a Mourinho would have done, or used it to their advantage, played it in the media. It just felt, you know, his appointment from the off probably suggests, gave a big sign that Harry was probably going to go. And, you know, as Tom Allnutt said on the podcast the other day, from a business point of view, which is essentially what Daniel Levy is at the heart of it, it was always going to be that he was going to sell. I just personally, from a Harry point of view, not so much the club point of view, I don't really understand why he didn't give it another year. Yes, there's the risk of injury. And yes, Bayern Munich are a fantastic club who do actually have a genuinely great chance of winning the Champions League. But in a year's time, he could have had his pick on a free transfer, could have stayed in the Premier League, could have gone to Real Madrid, could have gone to Barcelona. So personally, I'm slightly underwhelmed.
The club's message, obviously, you know, we've been preparing this a long time, but I've got to say, you know, there were times where it really didn't feel that way. And I did, even yesterday, I was kind of back and forth on whether Kane would stay or go. And yeah, I do totally get the argument that a player like Harry Kane is kind of unique. You don't treat him in the same way as an average player. You know, you don't let head rule heart. You let the heart have a say. And maybe you keep him for another year and see what happens and see what's possible and do everything in your power to keep him until the last possible second. That said, if we were kind of here in a year's time and he had just, you know, joined Man United, made his debut for Man U and having gone there on a free transfer, I think, you know, a lot of supporters would have probably wished they could turn back the clock and you know, pack him off safely to Germany where he can't do any damage against Spurs.
A lot of people were talking about the timing of it and getting frustrated by the fact that Brentford away is mere 2 days away. But personally, with this transfer of this type, I don't think it's that bad. It's not Berbatov last second of the transfer window.
I suppose it's just the extra kind of 5 or 10 or however much it is. We don't know. But you know, was the extra money worth it when potentially you could have accepted a buy and bid a few weeks ago? I guess that's the argument, isn't it?
I guess so. Yeah, that yeah.
It's a fair point. So yeah, we'll be at Brentford. We'll do a reaction pod after that. We're expecting Richarlison to leave the line, I guess, with Kulusevski and Son in support. It's truly the start of a new Spurs era. I think that's one thing you have to say now, is that the plaster has fully been ripped off.
Yes.
You know, the only remnant of the Pochettino side who's going to play significant minutes this season, I'd imagine, is Son, Davis and Dyer, maybe one or two others still around. And that voice you heard was us getting kicked out of the auditorium. So on that note, I think we'll wrap it up. Thanks, Tom.
See you, Brentford.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.